Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Not looking back, moving ahead. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this morning? Mother Valerie, we cannot hear you. Need to make sure your phone is unmuted. Good morning, everybody. We cannot hear Mother Valerie this morning, and hopefully you can all hear me.
Can you hear me
now? 7412, good morning, good morning.
Can you hear me now?
7412, Mother Valerie, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, good morning. I have opened 7298. Your line is open as well.
Amen.
Well, Mother, good morning. Good morning, Minister Shannon. Is that you?
No, it's Tracy.
Oh, good morning, Tracy. You were the first one on. I thought you were Mother Valerie. Well, good morning, Tracy. We are happy to have you with us this morning. I just want to introduce Tracy to some. Tracy is a regular caller. She listens in every morning, and every morning she calls to let me know if we had a good or not so good show. So Tracy is our critic and a good listener, and we appreciate you, Tracy.
Amen.
Thank you so much. You are appreciated. And Tracy, I'm about to mute you again, and Mother Valerie and I are about to get started. But we want to thank you so much, Tracy. You know, God bless you, God keep you, God continue lifting you up, my beautiful little sister.
Thank you.
Mother Valerie is all yours.
Amen, amen. Good morning, saints, and good morning, people of God. This is a beautiful day. Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for who you are. Thank and praise you for the birds, the bees, the trees, the sunrise. We thank and praise you for everything that you do, will do, and have done. We're grateful, God, because you didn't have to do it. You did it again and again. You did it today. And we are grateful and thankful, and we worship you, Abba, Father, in Jesus' name, that the hearers of the word be blessed this morning. It's a beautiful, 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 beautiful day because you started us on our way, and we're thankful. We're just thankful. I'm in Ezekiel 23:1. The word of the Lord came again to me. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, there were two women, the daughter of one mother. They committed harlotry in Egypt. They committed harlotry in their youth. The breasts were their embrace. The virgin bosom were their breasts. The names were Olaba, the elder, and Olabaya, her sister. They were mine. They bore sons and daughters. As for their names, Samaria is Ola, and Jerusalem is Olaba. Ola played the harlot, even though she was mine. She lusted for her lover, the neighboring Assyrians, who were clothed in purple, captives and rulers. All of them desirable young men, horsemen riding on horses. Thus she committed her harlotry with them. All of them clothed men of Assyria, and with all for whom she lusted, with all their idols, she defiled herself. She has never given up her harlotry brought from Egypt, for in her youth they lay with her, pressed her virgin bosom, poured out their immorality upon her. Therefore, I have delivered her into the hands of her lovers, into the hands of the Assyrians, for whom she lusted. They uncovered her nakedness, took away her sons and daughters, slew her with the sword. She became a byword among many, for they had executed judgment on her. Now, although her sister Aholibah saw this, she became more corrupt in her lust than she and her heart more corrupt than her sister's husband. She lusted for the neighboring Assyrians, captains, and rulers, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding on horses, all of them desirable young men. Then I saw that she was defiled, took both the same way, but she increased her harlotry. She looked at men portrayed on the wall, image of Chardons portrayed in their mill, girded with belts around their waist, flowing turbans on their heads, all of them looking like captains, in the manner of the Babylonians of Chardons, the land of their nativity. As soon as her eyes saw them, she lusted for them, sent messages to them in Chardons. Then the Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and they defiled her with their immorality. So she was defiled by them, alienated herself from them. She revealed her harlotry, uncovered her nakedness. Then I alienated myself from her, as I alienated myself from her sister. Yet she multiplied her harlotry, and calling to remember the days of her youth, when she played the harlot in the land of Egypt. For she lusts for her Harmonas, whose flesh is like the flesh of donkeys, and whose issue is like the issue of horses. Thus you call to remember the coolness of your youth, when the Egyptians pressed your bosom because of your youthful breath. Therefore, O Laba, thus says the Lord, behold, I will stir up your lovers against you, for whom you have alienated yourself. I'll bring them against you from every side, the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, Ecard, Show, and Kola. All the Assyrians with them, all of them desirable young men, governors and rulers, captains and men of renown, all of them riding on horses. They shall come against you with chariots, wagons, and war horses, with a horde of people. They shall array against you, buckle, shield, helmet, all around. I will delegate judgment to them, and they shall judge you according to their judgment. I will set my jealousy against you, and they shall deal furiously with you. You shall remove your nose and your ears, and your regiment shall fall by the sword. They shall take your sons and your daughters, and your regiment shall be devoured by fire. They shall also strip you of your clothes, take away your beautiful jewelry. Thus, I will make you cease your lewdness and your harlotry, brought from the land of Egypt, so that you will not lift your eyes to them, nor remember Egypt anymore. For thus says the Lord God, truly I will deliver you into the hand of those you hate, into the hand of those from whom you alienated yourself. They will deal peacefully with you, take away all your hard work for, and leave you naked and bare. The nakedness of your harlotry shall be uncovered, both your lewdness and your harlotry. I will do these things to you, because you have gone as a harlot after the Gentiles, because you have become defiled by their idols. You have walked in the way of your sister. Therefore, I will put her cup in your hand, thus says Lord God. You shall drink of your sister's cup, the deep and wide one. You shall be laughed to scorn and held in derision. It contains much. You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, the cup of horror and desolation, the cup of your sister Samaria. You shall drink and drain it. You shall break its shards and tear at your own breath. For I've spoken, says the Lord God. Therefore thus says the Lord God, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back. Therefore you shall bear the penalty of your lewdness and your harlotry. The Lord said also to me, son of man, will you judge Aholibah and Aholibah? Then declare to them their abominations, but they have committed adultery. Blood is on their hands. They have committed adultery with their idols and even sacrificed. They even sacrificed their sons, whom they bore to me, passing through the fire to devour them. Moreover, they have done this to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day, profaned my Sabbath. For after they have slain their children for their idols, on the same day they came into my sanctuary to profane it. Indeed, thus they have done in the midst of my house. Furthermore, you sent for men to come from afar to whom the messenger was sent, and there they came. And you washed yourself from them, painted your eyes, and adorned yourself with ornaments. You sat on a stately couch with a table prepared before it, on which you have set my incense with my oil. The sound of a carefree multitude was with her, and Sabine was brought from the wilderness with men of the common sort, who put bracelets on their wrists, beautiful crowns on their heads. Then I said concerning her who had grown old in adultery, will they commit adultery with her now, and she with them? Yet they went in to her, and as men go into a woman who plays the harlot, thus they went into Olah and Olabah, the lewd women. But righteous men will judge them after the manner of adultery, and after the manner of women who shed blood, because they are adulteresses, and blood is on their hands. Thus says Lord God, bring up an assembly against them, give them up to trouble and plunder. The assembly shall stone them with stones and execute them with the sword. They shall slay their sons and their daughters and burn their houses with fire. Thus I will call lewdness to cease from the land, that all women may be taught not to practice your lewdness. They shall repay you for your lewdness, and you shall pay for your adulterous sins. Then you shall know, then you shall know that I am the Lord God. Then you will know it, that I am the Lord God. You cannot stand before God and not be judged. Those two were sisters, and the older sister did worse than the younger sister. They were sisters. They were sisters, and God judged them both. Chapter 24. Again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, write down the name of the day. This very day, the king of Babylon started his siege against Jerusalem. This very day, utter a parable to the rebellious house and say to them, thus says Lord God, put on a pot, set it on, and also pour water into it. Gather pieces of meat in it. Every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder, fill it with choice cuts. Take the choice of the flock, also pile sealed bones under it, make it boil well, and let it cut simmer in it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is in it, and whose scum is not gone from it. Bring it out piece by piece, on which no lot has fallen. For her blood is in her midst. She set it on top of a rock. She did not pour it on the ground to cover it with dust, that it may raise up fury and take vengeance. I have set her blood on top of a rock, that it may not be covered. Therefore, thus says Lord God, woe to the bloody city. I too will make the fire great, heap on the wood, kindle the fire, cook the meat well, mix in the piece, the spices, and let the cups be burned up. Then set the pot empty on the coal, that it may become hot and its bronze may burn, that its filthiness may be melted in it, that its scum may be consumed. She has grown weary with lies, and her great scum has not gone from her. Let her scum be in the fire, and your filthiness is lewdness, because I have cleansed you, and you were not cleansed. You will not be cleansed of your filthiness anymore till I have caused my fury to rest upon you. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not hold back, nor will I spare, nor will I relent. According to your ways and according to your deeds, they will judge you, says the Lord God. Your deeds and your own ways of acting will be your judge. And God said, nor will I relent. I won't relent. I will not hold back, nor will I spare. And he won't. He said, your own ways will judge you. Also, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke. Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh in silence. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban on your head and put your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your lips and do not eat man's bread of sorrow. I spoke to the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And the next morning I did as I was commanded. And the people said to me, will you not tell us what these things signify to us that you behave so? Then I answered them, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will proclaim my sanctuary, your arrogant boast, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul. Your sons and your daughters whom you left behind shall fall by the sword, and you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips nor eat man's bread of sorrow. Your turban shall be on your head and your sandals on your feet. You shall neither mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away in your iniquities and mourn with one another. Thus Ezekiel is assigned to you according to all that he has done, you shall do. And when this comes, you shall know. And when this comes, you shall know that I am the Lord. And you, son of man, will it not be in the day when I take them from their stronghold, their joy and their glory, the desires of their eyes, and that on which they set their minds, the sons and the daughters, that on that day, one who escapes will come to you to let you hear it with your ears. On that day, your mouth will be open to him who has escaped. You shall speak and no longer be mute. Thus, you shall be a sign to them, and they shall know, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. God says what he says and means exactly what he means. So you have to be truly careful because you have to pay for your own sin, life lessons. Ezekiel 24:16. You shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. God requires some hard things of his servants, the prophets. Here he told Ezekiel not to weep when his beloved wife died. Ezekiel couldn't even cry. He couldn't even cry when his wife died. And she was beloved. God told him, don't mourn, don't weep. God would use the most extraordinary measures to try to wake up his sleeping people to their danger. Ezekiel 24:24, according to all that he has done, you shall do. And when this comes, you shall know that I am the Lord God. God made Ezekiel's whole life into a sign of a living message to Israel. He moved heaven and earth, if necessary, to show us his will. Our job is to obey it through the power of the Spirit. We are to obey God. God is Father. God made the heaven. God made the earth. Look at yourself. Look at you. God made you. Our job is to obey it through the power of the Spirit. We are to obey God. And when we don't obey God, we come into problems. We are to do what God tells us to do. It looks like to me, that's only to me, it don't seem like it's hard to do what God tells you to do, because when you do what God tells you to do, you come out ahead. If God said go left, and you decide, I ain't going left, I'm going right, well, then you won't come out ahead. Look like to me it would be easier to go head on and do what God tells you to do. Because a lot of times when you do what the Lord tells you to do, you won't fall into a pit. And you can say, oh, my Lord, thank you. Thank you. Because if I had went left instead of right, I see what would have happened. I would have fell into the pit. And I wouldn't be standing here looking at the pit. obey God. Obey your Father. Your Father have good things in store for you. He wants you to live a good life. He wants you to live the life that Jesus would have lived if he had lived. God is just good. And he's not good sometimes. He's good all the time. And he has his love is for his children. We are to be obedience is better than sacrifice. To obey God is better than sacrificing your children to the fire. God don't want all that. He wants you to just obey. When Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his son, God said, no, I just wanted to see if you would do it. God had a ram in the bush, and Abraham did not have to sacrifice his son. He did not have to do that because God loved him and was testing Abraham to see if Abraham loved God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God loves us, and he will test you just like he did with Job. Job went through so much. He went through a lot. And his wife said, oh, Job, why didn't you just go on and curse God, curse him and die? He said, woman, you talk like a foolish woman. As the Lord lives, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. So that woman, you talk like a fool. Talk like a fool. I will not curse God. And he was a blessed man. God gave him more children and more cattle, more of everything. For his obedience and for his love. God just loves us, and in turn, if somebody loves you that much and show you how much you love them, how much you are loved by them, look like you would love them in return. How can you hate somebody that loves you, truly loves you, and shows you that you are a child of God, shows their love? God is a wonderful, caring Father. And we are to walk in his ways. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. In Jesus'
good
name.
Good morning again, everybody. Whew, what a word, Mother. What a word. You know, Ezekiel, like I said, he just feels like he stepped off the pages in time right into our time. And all we can say is, Lord, you are mighty. And that we got to do what God said to. What he say? For I am the Lord. You know, I, the Lord, have spoken. Never get it right. I, the Lord, have spoken. Not Mother Valerie, not Pastor Bridget, but I, the Lord, have spoken. Come on. When God wakes me up, I get a tingle in my hand. And I don't know if I told you guys in my testimony. But sometimes God will wake me up. We got to do what we have to do and trust God always, because you never know what God has planned for you and what God wants you to do. So when we believe and trust God, watch him work in our lives. And so, Mother, I am so thankful that word was right on point. You shall neither mourn nor weep. Shall your tears run down. Whew, you know, that word had to touch me, because there were times where I was weeping and crying and mourning and over mourning. You know, I was totally a weeping woman, and God had to work with me on that. He had to really work with me, because, you know, there's grief and then there's an unholy grief, and the enemy uses unholy grief against you. He will take you down a road that you don't want to be in. So we got to pray, and we got to pray some more. And as we go into our word this morning from the psalm, we are in 127th psalm, verses 1 through 5. It's a song of ascent, Solomon. This psalm was written by Solomon instead of David. I ask, are the sons of Asaph or Asaph, or the Corinth? And it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he gives his beloved week. Behold, the children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Come on now. The word of God. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. And I'm just going to have to put a pin there. That does not mean that your quiver is full from Susie Q to Maniqua. That doesn't mean that you got 50 zillion mamas and 50 zillion kids by 50 zillion mamas. That's not what the word of God is talking about. You know, I'm supposed to multiply. It's you got to work the work. And that means being a husband, then becoming a father, having a wife that has your children, not your side chick, not your girl, not your baby mama. You know, you need to get married and have that quiver full of them. You know, like I told you before on my show before, you guys, I used to tutor elementary school. And one of my little girls that I had introduced me to the phrase on my mama's side and on my daddy's side. Because I had always just, you know, siblings are siblings. That's my sister. You know, I don't care if it's my half-sister, my quarter-sister, she's still my sister. So it's she's my sister. But this generation, they got the mama side, daddy side. And so as she explained to me, she had a new baby brother on her mama's side, but that he wasn't on her daddy's side, that he was on her stepdaddy's side. And on her stepdaddy's side, she had, and she named by how many kids her stepdaddy had. But on her mama's side, she had like three or four siblings, and they was in her school. And then on her daddy's side, she had three or four more siblings, and they was also in her school, but they didn't have the same mama that she did, and some of them didn't have the same dad, same mom that some that they all had, like some of them. And this is how it was sounding to me. And some of them, their mom is not the same. But all me and my on my mama's side, we all the same mama, you know. But we do have some of us have different dads. But on my dad's side, you know, my one brother, he is my brother on my mama's side and on my daddy's side. And I'm thinking, how in the world are we confusing our children? We have our children going in 50 zillion different directions, and I'm like, what in the world? Divorce is a lot of it. Unwed mothers and fathers is another part of it. When so many, I think I read an article, it said 70, let me look it up because I don't want to give bad facts.
Amen.
But it talked about the percentage single family parents. And it says, in 2022, among families with children, 31% were single parents. More than three times as common, the total number of families went up. And then it goes on to say, as reported by the Center for Children, the families, 40% of all live births in the U.S. are to single mothers. 90% of welfare recipients are single mothers. 90% of welfare is a single mother. 80% of all single parents in the U.S. single mothers. And it says 25% of U.S. families are headed by a single parent. And 80% of single parents headed households are moms. Or 21% of U.S. children live primarily with a single mother, according to census data. And that was just recently, October 18, 2023. And when we think about that, we don't want to know how many of these single moms that have children by fathers, with multiple children by single moms. You know, not taking responsibility for your quiver. You know, don't make babies that you can't take care of. And then it goes on to say, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. But if you're not doing it God's way, it's not the right way. We've got to trust God, and we got to do it his way, not ours. God wants us to live right, be right, do right. And he wants there to be many children. And, you know, my husband used to tease me all the time and say, I told you he should have more kids, because he knew how much I love kids. And that's why I work in children's ministry. I love children because I want to see them succeed and do great things. And many have. And, you know, I look back over some of the kids that I used to minister to when I first started, and they're now grown with children. And it's amazing. Amen. They're successful and doing great things. And I have to say, a whole lot of them came from parents, children, from mother and father families. And then the ones that came from single parent families, it's not because, but their fathers were involved. The ones whose fathers were involved, even though they may have been a single parent at home, their dads were involved in their life, successful. The ones that had mother and father, successful. The ones that hard-working mothers, successful. The ones that came from dysfunction, working hard to be successful, because they didn't have any say-so in their birth, didn't have any say-so in what was going to happen in their life. But we got to lift our children up and not tear them down. And when you are with mothers who are raising their children, help them. Help them. Don't sit back in your religious suit talking about, and girl, you know she got five kids, all them different daddies. You know, she ought to be ashamed of herself bringing all them children into the church. Excuse me. Who are you to judge? What did the word of God say? I, the Lord, have spoken it. God is the one that brought children into the world. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. And who are we to judge? How many single mothers have left the church because of judging Susie? How many young girls have left the church because they got pregnant and they got judged because of judging Susie? We got to quit being judge and jury over everybody's morality. And I know you like, well, you just talked about the single daddies making babies. Yes, I did. Because they affect everybody else. And they affect these precious gifts from God. And we have to help. We have to help. Pull a name off our angel tree to help a child. I know my children got them more than enough that we can donate to pick up a kid or two to get them a gift, something nice for Christmas. We've got to pray and help and be in the ministry of help. And then there's another one that says in Proverbs 28 and 24, whoever robs his father or his mother, it says, is no transgression, the same as companion to a destroyer. How many times have we heard the parents losing everything because of children stealing from, folks stealing inheritance from their widowed mothers, folks putting fathers in nursing homes and taking their money just because, he's costing too much. We need to put him in a nursing home. It costs too much for him to be taken care of home. That is expensive. We have all of these things that are happening, but God is wanting us to be the best we can be and to love each other, to love each other, and to care about each other. That's what God is wanting from all of us. And as we go back to this psalm, the 127th psalm, just want to give another overview from a different study Bible. Because Dr. Stanley says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Who build it? All our efforts are useless and futile if we do not partner with God in what he wants, where he wants, and how he wants it. The blessing of the Lord tells the difference between success and failure, satisfaction and regret. I can speak on that. God knows we all mess up, but we all got to clean up. And it says this in one of my studies. It says Solomon, David's son, is credited with this psalm. And it says this, if everything depends on God, what's the use of trying? The point is not that we shouldn't do our best, but that our efforts mean nothing apart from God. People can achieve worldly riches, fame, and a sense of security, only to find it all in vain unless God has been directing them. You know, even Solomon talks about vanity of vanities. It's all, it's like it means nothing. I got all these riches. I got all these women. I got everything I could ever want, and it's just vanity. And, you know, it goes on to say, does insomnia indicate a spiritual problem? Not necessarily. Because when we go to verse 2, it says, it is vain for you to rise up early instead of late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. I slept good. God woke me up in the middle of the night for a purpose, person and a purpose, but I went right back to sleep. And I thank God for it. And it says, not necessary. This psalm speaks about dealing with our anxiety. This is a generation of children who are anxious all the time. You might look up and see a kid just all of a sudden just start crying. And you're like, what are you crying about? I just feel overwhelmed. Children shouldn't be feeling overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed because they have to be in this, they have to be in that, they have to be a part of this. Kids, I was looking at my granddaughter's schedule one day. Her schedule was as busy as mine or more. She had a meeting with this group, and she had this practice, and she had to get this assignment done, and she had to meet with her study partner, and they're up talking on the computer half the night trying to get a project done. I mean, I'm listening, and I'm thinking, this kid, oh, and then she's got to go to work to take care of paying for her car. And I'm like, listen, all of this stuff is a child, but her schedule is like a grown person with a job and going to school. And I'm thinking, she's in high school. Got a busy schedule. Even my youngest, my grandson's 6 years old. He gets picked up from school 2 days a week, and he goes to tutoring. And then after tutoring, he has church. And then after church, he's got to get ready for bed. And then, you know, he's got choir rehearsal. And I'm thinking, okay, children are anxious because we are putting so much on their plate. They don't go outside and run around like we did. There would not be a day when I got out of school that I was not outside on my bike, even if it's just riding it up and down the street, just outside. I had a little jungle gym. I'd get out there and swing around on a rope from a tree just to get outside. You know, anxious children, anxious adults. I know anxiety hits you. What am I going to do? It's just not necessarily. This psalm speaks about dealing with our anxieties in view of God's continuing care. Generally, those who trust in God will rest more easily than those who don't. This psalm does not discuss other factors, however, that can contribute to inability to sleep. And then it says, how was a large family a sign of God's blessing? In the ancient Middle Eastern culture, having many children ensured parents that they would be cared for in their old age. Also, the ability to support a large family was seen as evidence that God had provided the resources to do so. Sons were considered a particular blessing because they carried on the family name. A lot of words. And we have to trust God again. And when we go into our Proverbs, you know, Proverbs 28 and 24, you know, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. God gives us wisdom to understand, to know that he is in charge of everything and that we are in charge of absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. We are in charge of nothing. You know, and when I went in there, it says, he who robs his father and mother and says, it's not wrong. He is partner to him who destroys. That means he is just as close to the devil to take from your parents. And it don't matter. You know, I remember when I was younger, this little girl and her group of friends were out joyriding in her mother's brand new Honda Accord. And when I say brand new, I mean brand new. Barely off the lot, brand new Honda Accord. Mom had to go out of town for work, and daughter was home on the weekend and decided to bring in some friends, and they decided to get the keys for mom's new car because the extra keys were hanging on. You know how we hang our keys on the key ring. And so she got talked into taking her mother's car out and that her mama wouldn't know. They came flying down the street I lived on. 50 going 30. I mean, they was moving. Hit a corner. And the next thing they knew, they was turning this corner. Hit, went over the curb. There was a bank that was across the street from me. Hit the curb of the bank, came down the street, and went straight through my wooden fence to the other side, straight through my wooden fence. And then landed on the other side of the alley in another fence. My poor dog was out in the yard, and he's looking at these folks like, they just kind of stupid. You know, and he did. He was looking at them like, what is wrong with these people? And then the two little boys that they was with, yeah, you know there were some boys involved. They ran. This little girl, we go and we help them out of the car. Luckily, they really weren't hurt because the fence and the fences kind of halted their progress. And the little girl, she gets down and she starts telling us, please don't call the police. Now, understand, this was a state fair weekend, and in the state fair weekend, a lot of state troopers would come to visit and hang out. We'd have wings And, you know, I was always safe. I was kind of in the world. We played cards and had drinks and things. And, you know, I don't drink, but that was provided. Let's just put it that way. And so there's state trooper cars all through the bank parking lot. You know, we having a party, basically, having to get together, mostly food and cards. You know, because they were state troopers, they were not drinking alcohol. And, she's crying, please don't call the police. And I'm just kind of standing there, and I'm looking at her. And finally I say, young lady, can you look around? What do you see? And when she looked around and saw all them police cars, she really started whooping and hollering. And then she started saying that she was in pain, or that she was hurt. And then my friend who was with me was a radiologist, and she said, well, where you hurt that? I work at the hospital. And, oh, my God, she really started whooping on. And then the last thing she said, please don't tell my mom. no police, no doctor. Don't tell my mom. And then when we were like, well, we're going to have to tell your mom. Then she was really in pain and she was hurting. We called an ambulance. Let them take her to the hospital. Let her mother deal with this accident. And then we called the police and called her mother. And needless to say, I don't know if that young lady's driving to this day. And that was almost 30 years ago because you just don't know what your children are getting into. Destroyed her mother's brand new car. In Hebrews 11, this book of faith, this substance, you know, our title, I'm so sorry, family. The title this morning, it's a faith thing we need to understand. It's faith that Ezekiel did what God said. It's faith that when we build a house, we build it with the Lord. It's faith that a parent can trust their children. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But it, for by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God, our Savior, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith,
God is always good. He's always good. Always. So this is the day that the Lord has made. And we shall rejoice and be glad in it. God is always a good God. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us. He's with us everywhere we go. God is a good God all the time. He's a great God. And like Pastor was saying, anytime we have problems, anytime we come up against anything, we take it to God. The word of the Lord came again to me saying, now, son of man, take up a lamentation of Tyre and say to Tyre, you are situated at the entrance of the sea merchant of the people on many coastlands, thus says the Lord God. To Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. I'm perfect in beauty. Your borders are in the midst of your seas. Your builders have perfected your beauty. They made all of your planks of fir, trees from Sinar. They took a cedar from Lebanon to make you a mast of oaks from Bashan. They made your oars. The company have inlaid your planks with ivory from the coast of Cephas. Fine embroidery linen from Egypt was what you spread for your sail. Blue and purple from the coast of Eshah was what covered you. Inhabitants of Sion and Aver were your oarsmen. Your wise men, O Tyre, were in you. They became your pilots. Elders of Gibeon and his wise men were in you to cross your sea. All the ships of the sea and the oarsmen were in you to market your merchandise. God is good. He's good all the time. He is good all the time.
Amen.
I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Well, Mother Valerie, for some reason, the devil did not like us talking about faith. Not at all. The next thing I know, I got disconnected when I started talking about faith. And I thought, Lord, and then I came back. I'm like, so you are in Ezekiel chapter 26. Am I correct?
Amen. And you know, the title is, it's a faith thing. So he didn't want
it
to
is
be
a
talking
faith
about
thing.
Faith thing. We need to understand that it is a faith thing.
Is a faith
so
thing.
You start talking
and
about
I said, well, you know what? When I looked, I got disconnected. And I said, okay, devil, you're not going to have no power today. We're going to finish this faith work. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, no. And it's like when I got to Enoch, because we know Enoch did not suffer death. And we know the book of Enoch was taken out of every Bible. And I always wonder, why did they take out the book of Enoch? But if you go and you read it, you're like, oh, okay. It's a little too sci-fi for the normal mind. It's a little out there. But I
think
some of the things in Enoch we're seeing today. And we better understand God gives us direction. But we got to have faith. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's where the enemy knocked me off my square. The devil is a lie and there ain't no truth in him. By faith, and I'm going to say it again, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, meaning God. But he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a
rewarder
of those who diligently seek him. Are you seeking
Amen.
Him today? Don't let the devil knock you off your square and say, well, I don't know what you want, but it's not going to happen. Yes, it is. Everything that I need from God, I know he's going to provide it. He has never left me. I'm still here. When the devil tried to take me out at 7, I'm still here. When the different times he tried to kill me, not today. And it says, by faith, Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen, 120 years, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became their heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Noah laughed at, talked about, ridiculed. Can you imagine? All of a sudden you see some animals going on the boat that Noah, crazy old Noah and his sons made. Look at there. Look at, wait a minute. He got two houses going on. Where'd that come from? I ain't never even seen one of them before. Oh, what's that? It's a giraffe. Animals coming from all over the place going on this boat. And folks, I'm sure, was cracking up because it was such a sight to see until that door's closed and the water starts coming up out of the ground. And then all of a sudden, water starts coming out of the sky. I'm sure they were surprised. But faith, Noah built it. God told him to. And it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. But he waited for the city which was foundations, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, but she bore a child when she was past the age, because that she judged him faithful, who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, was born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. The progeny of Abraham. God did it. Faith is assurance and action. I have had the privilege of flying in several singing into place. This is Dr. Stanley talking. And he said, faith is an action. And I'm going to tell you, flying on the plane, you got to have faith that pilot knows what he's doing.
Amen.
You got to have faith that pilot Amen. Is going to take you up and bring you safely down. You got that faith. And then to look out the window and see the sky and the clouds, you're above the clouds, and you're looking down, and it just looks like a foamy sea. It's just beautiful. But that's faith, and you got to know God did this. And it says Christians have the capacity to believe God for far more than we are typically willing to ask him to do. We have a foundation of assurance built from both God's word and our experiences of his trustworthiness. Therefore, we have no cause for anxiety. We just talked about anxiety earlier. We have no cause for anxiety because we have complete access to our Heavenly Father who is personally interested in our life. We know the Lord of the universe is available to meet every need and that he will act on our behalf. However, instead of demonstrating a solid conviction of his faithfulness, we often act out a weak, half-hearted belief. Of course, to put effective faith to work, we must go beyond simply thinking that God can do all things. We must know that he will do whatever he says. Faith is like a spiritual eye for believers. Though our physical eyesight may not detect evidence that God is answering our prayer, we are confident he has already begun to fulfill every promise he's made to us. Exercising faith cannot be passive. Notice that an action word follows every mention of faith in Hebrews. Prepared, obeyed, and lived. Prepared, obeyed, and lived. Instead of folding hands and waiting for God to do something, believers must trust him enough to step out and obey him. Our first responsibility is to go before the Lord with our petition. Then we must conscientiously trust him for an answer and wait with assurance and anticipation that he will follow through on his promise. Are you trusting God today? God did amazing feats through the lives of the men and women in Hebrews 11. As believers, we have the same potential for him to work powerfully in and through us like an underused muscle. Faith might at times become flabby, but by putting it into action, believers can build a strong, tough trust that mirrors those in the roll call of faith. As our assurance builds, we believe the Lord for progressively greater things. In return, he will use us in ways we never imagined. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Trust God today. Believe that he can and that he will take you higher. It's a faith thing we need to understand. And I thank y'all for your patience this morning as we were all over the place. But as I go back into a word from my sister twice, Sister Carolyn, and the word that she gave it is this. Good morning. Wherever you go today, God will be right there. He is omnipresent. Have a thankful Thursday. You've got to have faith that wherever you go, God is there. It is a faith thing, and we all got to understand it. We got to need to understand it. We must understand it. And I thank you, though, for those that stay with us as your host got dropped because the devil didn't like us talking about faith. And I just have a thing to say, family manners. If someone doesn't know how to manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? And what do we say? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And that's 1 Timothy, what I just read. It's 1 Timothy 3 and 5. It says, Father, you lead us freely with the wisdom you have. There are no mysteries to you, and you're not searching for answers. I come to you today with an open heart, ready to receive your grace. There is nothing I have need of that you can't supply. I just know it. You are the anchor that keeps me from drifting when storms of confusion come to toss me around. You are the cliff I hide in when the arrows of the enemy are threatening me. You set me on the rock, your firm foundation, and no matter what your bedrock doesn't crack or shift, Lord, I hear your heart when you examine my life and challenge my ways. If I am faithful with what I have, it reflects in you. If I don't show care to my, then how could I ever care for those who don't belong to me. Give me grace to give myself fully to my family, and that's family that I have by blood, and family like all of you, my extended. And it says, they are not a lesser priority in your kingdom. Your love starts first there. I hear you, Lord, and I repent for how I've neglected love for my own gain or comfort, bring restoration. And the answer today is, do you put your family first over your ministry or job? And I have to reflect on that, because there are times that I put other things over my family. And I ask God to forgive me for that, because I want that mustard seed faith that can move mountains, that can unite, that can help, that can make us all whole and better. So thank you for listening in. It's a faith thing, family, and we need to understand. Our faith is what keeps us going. Our faith is what keeps us alive. Our faith is what keeps us in our square, in the ark of safety. That's all I got, Mother Valerie, this morning. And I say to all of y'all,
Amen.
I got to get a little person to school, and I got to go to work. So I say to you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Remember, God is omnipresent, and our faith will keep us whole and within his ark of safety. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're asking one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, Mother Valerie and I pray that you have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord, knowing that you are covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet by the love of Jesus. Have a blessed day, family. Mother, what is it? I believe it's
a wrap.
And thank you, Mother, for keeping it moving this morning when the devil didn't want us talking about faith. But the devil is running a lie. He's a liar. There ain't no truth in it, because we got our faith where it is. Thank you, Jesus. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.